Reverb, Brighton Festival 2018. Now, all of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2018 with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Melita Dennett. This is Friday's Brighton Festival special. We're here Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeated 10pm and 9am the next day.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and for the next week and an extra weekend at the end of it, we're looking behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and the people who make it happen. Today we're hearing about an unusual performance that takes the audience into a spaces filled with air.
We're finding out about a kaleidoscopic queer temple party.
We'll be learning how classical music and Marlian sounds combine to push boundaries.
Along with reviews and previews in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, your exclusive behind the scenes peep at the Brighton Festival. And City Reads is a devilishly simple idea. It gets the whole of the city reading one book. There are events, talks and even at a club night sometimes, it's all like a giant book reading group with bells and whistles on. Young City Reads is the junior version. It's been running for a few years now alongside the Brighton Festival. And Marina Burton is one of the people behind Young City Reads. She joins us now on Radio Revo. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, this is a great project. So what are the selection criteria generally and the kind of books that you're looking for Young City Reads?
Well, every year we ask publishers to send in their best titles, and Young City Reads tend to go for a funny book. It's got to be engaging, fun basically, and excite people.
There is something as well about the books being relatively easy to read, because I would think part of the aim is grabbing in young people who, they might have read Harry Potter, but that might have been the only book they've ever read.
Yeah, the book has to be engaging, especially for reluctant readers.
Yeah.
The best thing about Young City Reads is that we are, all the children read together. It's one big read. You can usually associate reading with a sort of being an isolated experience, but it's great that everyone gets to share the experience together.
So how is that choice made then? Is it the adults sit and read, or do you say we think out of these four and you get some sort of test kids in to give it a go?
Well, we actually have a group of teachers that with experience that read all the titles and give us their opinion on what they think will be a good Young City Reads book.
So what happens for getting the schools involved then? Obviously, you've just mentioned there you get the teachers involved in the first instance, but, you know, there are a lot of schools in Brighton. It's kind of a big task, I'd have thought.
It is. So we started in 2013 with just 17 classes, and this year we have nearly 80 classes involved. So
wow.
Every year, yeah, it's grown hugely. We use social media to get our message out there. Teachers talk to one another. Parents talk to one another. It's not just Brighton and Hove either. We have schools in Worthing now signed up, Eastbourne, Hampshire. So we are putting the message out there.
Excuse my ignorance on this, on the education system, but I thought lots of things were structured in curriculum. So how do you get around that? How does this become part of what's happening?
So every week we send out an email with activities and resources about the books. So one week we could get classes to get involved in writing a pen letter to one of the characters in the book. They can write poems, they can design a new character for us. So it really does tie in very nicely with the curriculum.
So you know what the curriculum's saying they should be doing and you're suggesting, okay.
Yeah.
So this year, the book is Kid Normal. You actually have a copy in your hand.
Clutching it, yes.
For the benefit of people listening on the radio, it's by Greg James and Chris Smith. What were the reasons for choosing that particular book?
It is a brilliant book. I was laughing within moments. It's a really, really funny...
I'm going to have a little look. The pictures make you laugh.
It's
on the front.
It's a super engaging book. It's all about a kid called Murph, who is Kid Normal. He gets enrolled into a school for superheroes by accident. And it's a fantastic book because it tells kids that actually you don't have to have superpowers to be a superhero. You'll have to. I'm not going to give away any spoilers because if you haven't read it, do pick up a copy.
Yeah, I'll leave you on your own because I'm reading it now.
Okay,
it's quite good. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to pass it back. It's distracting me.
But yeah, it's a really funny, engaging book, and we've had some fantastic feedback.
Great. Do you get a sense that Young City Reads has encouraged a greater take-up of reading beyond City Reads? I mean, you said how it snowballed in terms of the number of schools who got involved in it, but I was just thinking that once City Reads, Young City Reads has been and gone, does it continue?
Well, we come back certainly every year with a different book, but we have heard feedback from students having finished the particular project. Some students have then designed their own book on the back of that, completely
Sweet.
On their own time.
Nice.
Yeah, and there is a second book in Kid Normal, and we saw lots of the children today raving about the second book, trying to grab copies as well. So, yeah, they certainly want to continue.
So you had your big event at the Dome today with the authors, Greg James and Chris Smith, and was it quite wild?
There were 1,500 school children.
What?
Just
your idea of heaven, Melita, heaven.
They all embarked on the Dome and it was wonderful. It was hectic, organised chaos, I'd like to say, but it was brilliant. It was very interactive. The authors, Greg James and Chris Smith, were up on stage, but then they got out there asking the kids questions. Kids got up on stage. They were treated like rock stars as well. They arrived on stage and the sound, the noise, they were stamping their feet, clapping their hands.
Amazing. Authors are meant to be in attics on their own, aren't they? I mean, they must have, were they just sort of overwhelmed with the love in the room?
It was electric. It was so nice to see all of those children together who had come together because of this one particular book. Regardless of if you're a reluctant reader or if you're a very, very strong reader or if you struggle slightly with reading, everyone was there and just so enthusiastic about it.
Because we heard author Imogen White on the show. She's the adopted author, so she's been working with a local school who've adopted her and they've been sharing writing tips, and she's going to be meeting them, I think, on Monday. She really loves it, so you must be getting some great feedback from authors.
We do. I mean, every year we have a fantastic range of submissions from publishers, and authors want to work with us because when they can see firsthand what we do with children in schools, they love that.
Well, and it also sounds that, I mean, my first thought is, well, they would, because there's going to be hundreds of books sold in the area.
Yeah.
So one, it's commercially, it makes sense for them. But also that opportunity to go and meet 1,500 kids who have read your book and love it. Or most of them probably love it. Some of them, come on, not everyone loves what they do at school. Some of them maybe thought this is a great day out away from school. But they were having a great time, and it was because of literature, because of reading. That's fantastic, isn't it?
It's inspiring. It's really inspiring for the authors to then go off and write another book, probably. Mm. And, yeah, to meet their audience.
So any other City Reads, Young City Reads events coming up this year? Was that your biggie?
That's our biggie. So we have just put out there for some more submissions for our 2019. We've been growing year on year. Last year we welcomed Chris Riddell, who's a local author and illustrator, to be our patron. That's really spreading the message as well, the Young City Reads message, and we hope to continue.
Well, congratulations on its success. Another Brighton success story. Another one. So thank you very much to Marina Burton for joining us on Radio Reverb. Congratulations, another successful city year, and I hope many more to you.
Thank you.
Cheers. You listen to Radio Reverb, Brighton Festival special. This is our dedicated Brighton Festival programme, peeping behind the scenes at what makes the festival tick. Later on, we're going to be hearing about Blast, which is taking place at Moorscombe Leisure Centre. Sounds like a really quite a fascinating event, that one. Going to be hearing about Brownton Abbey. Lots more things coming up in the Brighton Festival. We've been out and about as well, so we'll be picking those apart. Also, The Great Escape obviously has taken place this weekend. You can't miss all the people with lanyards. Look how important they are. They're wearing a lanyard. And playing Saturday night at The Great Escape, this is Chloe Badur from Brighton, and the track is Glory.
Cheers.
chilled out sounds there from Brighton. That is Chloe Badur and the track is Glory, and she's playing the Great Escape Saturday at 6. When I last looked at the website, they didn't have a venue up for her, but if you like that, then do check her out on the Great Escape website. You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM Fridays, Brighton Festival Show. I don't know which day it is. Every day is just kind of like wild.
The question is, will you remember my name today?
Well, I remember
you have
your
forgotten
name
that once.
I did forget your name yesterday. I'm on the verge of forgetting my own name. I don't quite know where I am. But I do know that last night I went to see Transformer at the Spire up in Kemp Town. You went to see it two nights ago. You loved it. I went last night. I loved it too. Mm. I thought it was such an unusual experience. I've seen a lot of weird stuff in my time. And that's one of the more unusual things I've seen. Certainly one of the more unusual things I think I've seen in the festival.
So this is the artist, Robbie Thompson, who has basically got a Tesla machine which sort of harnesses the power of electricity and sends out fizzes, and he
fizzes.
Sort of DJs yes. a set playing also with the sounds of the Tesla.
Yeah, so it's like a kind of 1950s sci-fi alien in a Faraday cage. I mean, and with lights flashing on it, and he plays effectively industrial techno, and the Tesla machine spits out electricity, so kind of forks of lightning of electricity as he plays the music, and it seems like a kind of sort of alien god that you're standing there and worshipping. It's a really strange experience to be.
Yeah, definitely. They felt the cult feeling
cult,
while I was
yeah.
in there. Everyone's waiting to see what this Tesla machine, the coil's going to do in front
yeah.
of them in this cage.
Great. I really enjoyed it. And I've met some people who say, like, no, not for me. For me, it totally was, because, you know, it's a combination of, well, basically hardcore industrial techno and electricity. Got to be good.
And you're also a Tesla fan, aren't you? Haven't you been to a museum
yeah,
somewhere?
I went to the Tesla Museum in Belgrade, in Siberia, in Serbia. Yeah. I like that kind of archaic technology, you know, which obviously we're still using today. But it's actually a very simple idea what he's done. It's just the way that he's done it and created a performance out of this little Tesla machine just spitting electricity.
So if you like archaic technology and industrial house music...
Techno.
Get yourself to the Spire. I think there's shows evenings 7.30 and 9.30. I think the 7.30 on Saturday evening is... fully booked.
Okay.
But there's availability at the other time, so check that one.
When I went last night, it wasn't that busy, so maybe the 9.30 one is a better bet for
and
you.
And it's the weekend now, Melita.
Oh, it's the weekend. It is the weekend, isn't it? Yes. Now, I went to see Fauna 2 days ago. I loved it. You went to see Fauna last night. What's the verdict?
I absolutely found it just such fun.
Mm.
It was so enjoyable. It was so sort of surprisingly amusing, and also one of those amazing things about circus shows when you sit there going, how does a body do that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, wow.
So strong.
Yeah, and several moments with, you know, people being lifted on one
yeah.
hand and then doing a strange movement while they're on their head, not just once but for several, so 30 seconds of doing stuff on the, I mean, it was unbelievable.
So I don't know what you thought, because it's Fauna, so it's based around animals, and it's based around kind of animal nature and then human nature and how that crosses together, that the representations of the animals were not literal representations. I don't know if you got the idea of the kind of when you anthropomorphize animals, so you see them as, you know, cheeky or shy or gawky. They were kind of representing animals in that sort of way, I thought.
I rarely think about anthropomorphization. No, you may. It may be something that keeps you awake at night, Melita, alongside people who wear lanyards, which is another one of your phobias.
That's one of my pet hates.
But no, I don't. For me, I just looked at amazing young bodies doing amazing things, and very clever, very witty, very sort of suggestive of relationships and dynamics.
Yeah.
But it's finished now, hasn't it? It's two nights and gone.
It's tonight. Tonight, tonight at 7:30, and Saturday is a matinee, not an evening show. That's at 2:30 at Theatre Royal. And I think the word that sprung to my mind about Fauna was just joyful.
Yeah, it's great fun. It's one that you can go to with the kids, who'll love it as well. I mean, it really is one of those rarities. And this sounds like spinning it, but I've been so blessed with going to see some shows that are fabulous this year, and that one was fantastic. And I went with my nephew Tim, who came into the studio earlier in the week,
uh-huh.
and Tim. He loved it too. This pair of us sat there and occasionally sort of just looking at each other going, wow, wow, silently, and occasionally actually vocalising that wow at what was happening in front of us. It's a great piece of fun circus theatre dance.
Yes, so that's Fauna at Theatre Royal. It runs till Saturday, so tonight 7:30 and Saturday at 2:30.
The Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
For more than four decades, San Francisco's Kronos Quartet have pushed the boundaries of classical music with a huge number of collaborations, film soundtracks and experimental works. They come to the Dome on Sunday night in collaboration with Marleyan act Trio de Cali. Mark Johnson from Slipstream looks forward to what you can expect and spoke by phone with Kronos Quartet David Harrington in the States.
Looking at the Kronos Quartet with the Trio de Cali, that was from the album that was released last year. The project was inspired and the musicians were brought together by Dr. Lucy Duran on behalf of Aga Khan Music Initiative. It's a great combination of sounds. You've got the string quartet and then this tremendous trio from Mali with the fantastic vocals of Hawa Kassi Madi Diabete, who is the daughter of one of the greatest singers from Mali, Kassi Madi Diabete, and her range tone is absolutely fantastic. They're going to be appearing at the Brighton Dome on the 20th, Sunday the 20th of May. The first section, or the first part of the evening, will be a film by Sam Green, an Oscar-nominated filmmaker, and the film is called A Thousand Thoughts, and it's about Kronos Quartet, who've been around now for a long, long time, and they get involved in lots and lots of different musical styles, music projects. They are absolutely fantastic. We're going to hear a little bit about them right now.
When I was 12 and I first heard a string quartet playing Beethoven's Opus 127, there's me and then there's music. I have to learn to do that. I'm going to do that.
We're the Kronos Quartet.
What is music? You finish making a note, and that's it. Where is it?
Music is a place.
Music is all about imagination.
You have to play being yourself.
One of the things about the Kronos that I like is that they get inside the music.
The sound of two violins, a viola and a cello, is an amazing sound. It expresses something about life that no other sound I've ever heard does.
The string quartet repertoire was probably changed by them more than by any other group.
You know, when we think of a string quartet, we usually think of four elderly gentlemen. That's not what the Kronos String Quartet is all about.
Kronos began to play the music of Jimi Hendrix. As a result of playing Stravinsky. We have not created the bulletproof piece of music that can wrap its arms around us, that it can protect children, it can protect families. I believe it exists in the universe because I can imagine it. Kronos is trying to play that piece. That's our job. I want to be ready, and I want Kronos to be ready for that next adventure.
Dear listener, it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to David Harrington from the Kronos Quartet. How are you, David?
I'm doing really great, thank you.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you. Kronos Quartet were once described by Rolling Stone magazine as the Fab Four of classical music. What do you think about that quote?
Well, that was very nice. I've been a Beatles fan for a long time.
I've got some facts here about the Kronos Quartet. You've been around now for 45 years.
That's right.
You've released 60 recordings. You've won 40 awards. I think you've done 3,000 concerts. Is that correct?
Probably more than that. I would say.
Commissioned 950 works for the string quartet. That's quite an amazing track record, David. What do you put that down to?
Well, first of all, we're having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
This might be the most interesting, provocative, and stimulating time in the group's history, I would say. And feels to me like all of the experiences that we've had and are pushing us towards new ones in the future. So in a lot of ways, it seems like we're just getting started and there's so many things to do. Music is such an interesting, fascinating part of life. You know, I think that's one of the things that keeps the group thriving and interested and challenged. Yeah.
A really compelling, eclectic repertoire for the string quartet, performing and recording works by artists so diverse, such as Bartok, Charles Mingus, Laurie Anderson and Jimi Hendrix. You can't get enough inspiration, if you like.
Music is this repository of some of humanity's most amazing thoughts about the world, about the universe, about ourselves. Those of us that are, we call ourselves musicians, and all that means is that, you know, at a certain age, we decided we had to have music around us as much as possible.
That's all it means.
It doesn't mean that we know anything more about music than any other listener. I truly do not feel that I understand music. I just want it as much as I can get of it. And for me, it's a total mystery how it works. And I accept the mystery and cherish it and just want to be close to it and share what I can of it with my family and friends and audience members.
David Harrington from Kronos Quartet, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And thanks for sparing us the time.
My pleasure.
Here at Radio Reverb here in Brighton. And we'll very much look forward to seeing you at Brighton Dome.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Mark Johnson from the Slipstream, speaking with Kronos Quartet's David Harrington. And you can hear the full interview on Saturday's Slipstream show here at 1 p.m. on Radio Reverb. And you can see the Kronos Quartet with Sam Green and Trio De Carli at the Brighton Dome at 7:30 p.m. this Sunday.
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the Brighton Festival special programme with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. And next Friday, the 25th of May, it's an Afro-Futurist party coming to the Brighton Dome in the form of Brownton Abbey. From the folks that brought Mickey Blanco to the Brighton Festival in 2017 comes Brownton Abbey, the Afro-Futurist collective taking you to church. The evening's billed as a queer pastoral performance party that will transform Brighton Dome into a kaleidoscopic off-world temple. Well, what on earth is all that about? We're going to find out in a moment. First of all, we should hear some music from it. I actually saw Big Frieda probably about 3-4 years ago playing at the Haunt to about 30 people. A stunning gig. It was one of those gigs where you should have been there. But Big Frieda is bringing her stuff to this event. This is Big Frieda and the track is called Rent. Yeah, loving that. Big Frieda and the track is Rent. Big Frieda is one of the stars appearing at Brownton Abbey. So with us to explain more what this kaleidoscopic off-world temple is all about, we've got Tariq El-Mutawakkil, who's the producer and programme at the Marlborough Theatre here in Brighton, and Rob Jones from the Brighton Festival. Welcome to Radio Reverb.
Hiya.
Hi.
So this is a co-commission between the Brighton Festival and the Marlborough. How did all that come about?
Oh, well, we did Mickey Blanco together last year, and we've been friends for a while.
When we were talking about it recently, we realised that actually part of the reason why we kind of really started to really connect in terms of wanting to make something together was after seeing some work that was really problematic, that was kind of using queer people of colour rather than elevating. They kind of like kind of being using them as tools, and we were just like, this is messy when it's in the wrong hands, when it was just like some...
We really bonded over that. We've been friends for a while, but actually that kind of galvanised something, and we kind of saw a common purpose and interest in the way we wanted spaces to feel for everyone, not just certain types of people.
And as queer people of colour ourselves, it made sense to us that that's something that we would want to be working with other... We will use cutie-poc artists, queer, trans or intersex POs, people of colour.
Don't give us more letters.
Have you never heard cutie-poc?
Oh, that's the one. You've got to know that. You've got
it's
to have
all about the cutie
down.
Pucks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a good one. I like cutie puck. So, Herman, what is this kaleidoscopic off-world temple then?
It's a big party, and it's a party that is inspired by stuff that I've done. It's inspired in some way by the sort of stuff that I have created in festivals, but taken onto a much bigger level. So there's performance happening all over the place, on the stage, in the auditorium, in a separate room.
There's a secret breathing womb for like small groups of audience members at a time where you go in and have this beautiful kind of breathing experience with this gorgeous artist called Rhea Hartley. You discover things, you feel things, you move around,
So, it's kind of, it's complex in a way, but I think that's also like the people that are involved in making it, you know, where we're not just one thing. No one is really just one thing.
Sure, completely.
So looking at it, and I mean, you've said, you know, okay, it's a kaleidoscopic off-world temple, but actually it's a sort of club night. But so my question would be, is it right that a club night's in the festival?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I think this is a really great way of engaging with people that don't maybe normally
come to the festival. And we've done, in the festival, we have done them in the past. We've had African Dance Party for 2 years running, we did. We've done party nights, club nights, but this is definitely more than... I mean, you could come. You could come just to have a drink, see Big Frieda, have a bloody good dance, listen to amazing DJs, but get so much more. Incredible performance that says something, that will, you know, bring people together and kind of, do something different.
The way that I see a party, that party is not just a party, at least when I put a party on. It's never just like...
No, I was going to say, I mean, I asked that from a background of someone who has for many years loved Ducky, and the fact that Ducky as a club night always has some element of artistic performance. So it's how you then make the people that come along to club night see that actually maybe art is something they could do and culture outside of the clubbing experience. Or is that trying too hard?
Absolutely. There's a way of audiences who would not normally engage with performance art or live art, and they actually have it in their faces. And also similarly, audiences who normally maybe don't engage with the clubbing experience are able to experience that as well, because personally when I go to music festivals, art and music festivals like Glastonbury, those are the spaces when I really connect with live art and performance art and these kind of weird and wonderful things. When you're more free, rather than being in a gallery space, and it's kind of in galleries, I always feel like things are a bit dead.
You have to behave, and you have to sit and stand a certain way, and this kind of and you often loosened up.
Yeah, and you often don't feel like, particularly if you're like a person with intersectional identities, you don't necessarily feel that is a space that you're meant to be in.
Yeah.
People kind of look at you like, "Why are you here?" And so there's something about creating a space where we can all feel that we're meant to be there.
Yeah.
Kind of like this critical mass of like, this is a place for us where we can be present and represent all the different interesting parts of ourselves and be our full selves.
It sounds to me like there's another side of the coin, though, in that you might want to maybe discombobulate people, maybe put people a little bit outside their comfort zone, offer the unexpected.
Well, why not?
It's going to be a mix of both. I'd like to have people, in a way, a bit out of our comfort zone, but then also there's lots of things that we're putting to make sure that people are comfortable. Whether it's through the accessible ways that we have. We've got BSL interpreters. We have space for wheelchair access. There's a lot of seating in the venue as well, so we've taken the dance floor out, but you can actually
if you're not someone who could stand and dance all night long, that's completely, it can just work for you as well,
sit and watch and enjoy. So we do also want people to be comfortable, but in a way that they maybe haven't experienced before.
Like when Melita asked that question, I wish people could have seen the cheeky grins on both of your faces. We have two men with big smiles and cheeky looking, I mean there's a glint in your eyes, it's like, yeah, we might discombobulate some people.
I hope so. I mean, I've got a few little techniques, I think, that when you come into the space, it should feel like, oh, this is different.
You're going to be seeing the Dome Concert Hall in a way that it's never been presented before. There's some gorgeous pieces of set and elements of design that are going into
it. So what is the actual lineup then, as well as the... who have you got?
So we have Ria Hartley, Malik Nasad Sharp, Lasana Shabazz, and
Rachel Young. With DJ sets from DJ Jamu, who does Gal Pals, and Sister Selector, who do have their show.
They have their own radio show and they DJ all over Brighton.
Yeah.
It's all of these people are queer people and people of colour, or queer aligned people of colour.
Yeah, and have a good, on the whole, either from Brighton or have a really strong connection to the place.
Are you seeing this as a springboard to maybe something which went on a bit longer, maybe a festival over a couple of days?
I would really love to see Brownton Abbey in festivals. Something that really occurred to me last year when I was doing a few festivals. Just, there are now spaces, for example, at Glastonbury there is the Sisterhood, which is a place that is just, it's run by women.
Yeah.
It actually is only for women to go inside, which I love. I would love to see a place that was run by queer people of colour, or just people of colour, like that. I've never seen that at a festival, and what that would mean to have our own space. So I would love to see Brownton Abbey going to all sorts of different places. But also I feel like there's something about it being in cities as well, and going to places where communities actually exist.
Need it. Exist and need it. This is a breath of fresh air. There aren't many things like this. And should we talk about Saturday service?
We should talk about Saturday service.
Yeah, we'll let you, yeah.
I looked at that and I thought, how are people going to get up on a Saturday after the Friday night? But you can explain what Saturday service is and then I can ask that question maybe.
Yeah, well, it starts at 1, that's a lot more, you know, not crack of dawn. And it's basically another sort of communal moment for people to come together from the night before. And it's kind of just...
it's a reinterpretation of a church sort of event in our own way. And so, and same with Brownton Abbey as well. A lot of what was behind us is kind of like our own sort of little spiritual... finding our own way of having spiritual moments.
Yeah.
So that is what will be happening on Saturday afternoon. There'll be food, we'll be playing some music. We'll be just chilling out together. And actually, again, the reason why I really wanted to have the Saturday service was because I thought we're going to meet a load of brilliant people on the Friday night, and we're going to, and a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't know you lived here in Brighton. There's more of us than we thought, but we might not get a chance to like connect and to like swap numbers. And I wanted to have like another moment where we're like, okay, here you are.
Do that.
I like your moves in the dance floor last night. So let's talk some more.
How does that work with tickets? Is that the same ticket, or you have to get a ticket for
You can buy a ticket for the Saturday service. It's only a small cost of £3.
It's £3.
Just to put towards food. But if you really, really can't afford that and you've bought tickets to Main Event, let us know and we'll see what we can do.
Get you in, no worries. Yeah. No worries. We just want people to show up and have a nice... just to reconnect.
We want people to come and enjoy it and be present.
So you can go on the Friday night, 8 till late. You can go home late, wake up at about midday and think, I'm a bit peckish. Oh, I can go to that service.
Exactly. Bring some food too. It's going to be like a bit of a sharing thing.
Where is it?
In the basement on Kensington Street.
Yeah.
I think that's the address, yeah.
You two look like you're buzzing. I think you're looking really excited.
It might be the lack of sleep.
It might be just so bad. Yeah, no, we're really excited. We've been talking about this for over a year, and it's next week.
It's very exciting.
And it's going to be wonderful, and it's that thing of we throw in a party, we really hope you like it. You can.
It should be a really positive experience.
Yeah. I wonder what you're going to be like at about 8 o'clock. If everyone's going to arrive fashionably late, or are you going to, you know, what are you expecting?
That's a really good point. People need to come on time because you're going to miss some of the performances.
Okay, so it does start at 8.
It starts.
And when the Dome says late, isn't necessarily what most people might translate.
It's not going to be like, Dome late isn't
after 11 o'clock. Is it midnight?
No, we'll go after
just beyond midnight. Just beyond midnight.
Then you'll turn into pumpkins.
Yeah, exactly. So you could even leave just after midnight and get a taxi and head back to London if you're listening in London.
People are. Okay. Well, Tariq El Moutawakil, Rob Jones. It's Brownton Abbey is taking place at Brighton Dome next Friday, 25th, 8 till late. Tickets £15. Standby tickets for £10 may be available.
Yeah. No, there are. And there are some ticket offers out now. So BA10 will get you a £10 ticket.
Oh, there we go. There we go. There's the secret code.
Yeah. So, also, there's a cheaper ticket for community groups. And if you contact the Dome, we'll tell you the code for that.
And isn't there a pay it forward thing happening with the Dome as well this year? So if you can't afford a ticket, you can call up the Dome and there should be some tickets that are just there.
Through the festival's pay it forward scheme. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. I think that's all bases covered.
You can't avoid a ticket, more or less, it sounds like.
Brown
Get yourself
Abbey.
A ticket.
Tariq and Rob, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. Good luck next week and good luck with many more.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Brighton Festivals 2018. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour. Something altogether different now, much more relaxing. Blas is a Dutch creation that takes the audience inside air-filled spaces created through billowing cloth and giant inflatables. It takes place at the Moelskom Leisure Centre. Yes, you did hear that right. And it's been put together by theatre maker Boekje Schweigman with visual artist the splendidly named Kokki Ek and performer Ibelis Guardia Ferraguti. It all sounds very intriguing. So I went to Pavilion Gardens earlier today to sit in the sun with Ibelis to hear more.
Our show is called Blas in Dutch, and they translated as blow, which is a bit difficult translatable, but okay. And it's a very visual piece with some visual artworks, actually, from artist Kokki Ek. She makes things. Well, she was actually a fashion designer, and her clothes became more bigger and bigger and bigger until she just was busy with a kind of inflatables kind of style of things. But they were actually, they become a little bit like your second skin, but they are like really big objects in the space, and we play with those.
When the audience walks in, mm-hmm. What do they see?
You just see actually like when you wake up from your bed and all your sheets are completely like a little mountain. And that's what you see in the beginning in this space. It's a white, empty space with some weird sheets. Yeah.
Okay, but the action then takes part around the audience.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, we played a lot actually in general with Boekje because I worked with this company already for 10 years. And in general, we talk a lot about the relationship of performer and public or whatever we do in the public. And with this piece especially, it was really about this phenomenology of the subject and the object. So, meaning, we are the object of theater, and you come and you have a delightful moment until you are part of the object. You are part of what's happening, and that happens in a very kind, generous way. It's not that you feel like, oh, I have to do something. You're just being dragged towards our white world slowly but very gently.
Great, because I was looking more at the work of visual artist Kokki Ek. Mm-hmm. Who's designed this, got a great name by the way, Kokki Ek, that's a super name. And she does a lot of work then with inflatables and air inside, yes. Inside material. So I would imagine that kind of idea of floating or with the name Blast, Blow, yeah. that's very much a part of it, that air is going to be travelling through the environment.
Yes, actually it was. It's very interesting because in the beginning when we were making it, even me, I was a little bit blinded by the form of the inflatables because they are so amazing. But actually, as a performer, at a certain point I realized, it's not about the object, it's about the air. And Kokki uses even this term called pneuma, that is the name that involves all kinds of air forms, breeze, air, storm wind, so the air as an entity. And when I understood that, it was so much easier to understand also the dramaturgy of the piece because it has actually a timing of air, which is different than a human timing. I play in the little first object, in the little inflatable. I am inside. I don't see anything. I don't see anything at all. So I have to actually open my sixth sense or something like that to be able to move around the space in a very precise choreography, so to say, because otherwise it becomes also very vague and just like this balloon moving around. And the moment I realized that it was about air, then I was really listening to what the air inside this entity, of inside of this textile, was telling me to do. And that's what I mean with a different timing than human timing or my own, like what I would do with my body is very different than, but it's actually air, what I am trying to listen to and compose.
Because it's also something I guess we take for granted. We're sitting here in Pavilion Gardens and it's kind of, it's very sunny, it's a little bit breezy. Yeah. And also, you know, there is air going in and out of us because we're breathing, not even thinking twice about it. So I guess getting people to think a little bit more about maybe some of those things that we take for granted.
Yeah, and it's been also very often that people think about moments of birth and moments of death. Within this piece, because in the beginning you see these sheets that are lying from your bed, like laying down, and I suddenly blow the little balloon very slowly, so it's like you're giving life into this little creature that slowly grows and grows and grows, and then afterwards it just actually kind of becomes smaller just by itself because of it, just the air cannot be contained all of the time there, and in the end all of the people are dragged into a much bigger balloon, so to say. We call it blob, and then
that's a technical term.
Yeah, and then they are inside, and at a certain point they have to walk towards a really long tunnel, and of course everybody like, oh yeah, the death. But if you allow yourself to just not just intellectualize what it means, but more like, what do I experience in this new space, or what does it mean for you in a more intuitive maybe way, then yeah, it could become very emotional as well.
And taking place in the sports center, that's an unusual venue.
Yeah, it's we need a bit of a big space. And normally Bauke and I, in all my work I did with her as well, we very often choose for unconventional venues, because also it has a different expectation when you have to go all the way there, and then you are already like in a different atmosphere than in a concert hall or in a theater place. So we like to use that as well always. And yes, it's not just inside, but also a bit outside the piece, yes.
So you just arrived in Brighton. Lovely day. What do you make of Brighton so far?
Yeah, I love it. I find it amazing, also because I'm lucky that there are also so many festivals and things going on. So I am a bit surprised by the fire in the city and also the music scene. I'm a musician as well. It's another profession I have, and I was really impressed with this music festival. So I'm really very artistic, very cultural place. I like it.
Of course. Well, welcome to Brighton.
Thanks. I'm impressed. Beautiful. And like the whole, yeah. It's, and the people as well, very welcoming and very kind.
That's Ibalis Guardia Ferraguti talking about Blast. That's at the Morscombe Leisure Centre tonight and tomorrow, 6:30 and 8:45. And again on Sunday, 4 p.m. at 6:30. Sounds interesting. It sounds quite weird.
It does. And when she explained why they choose the location for it, then you suddenly think, oh, Morscombe Leisure Centre, that makes sense. Because you go along and you're like, I don't normally see things here. But mind you, anywhere, if you were seeing inside a balloon, and it all sounds very strange.
It does, doesn't it? Well, I'm hoping to get to see that over the weekend. Another busy weekend in the Brighton Festival, so do check out the festival programme. We've been covering pretty much everything, I think, over the course of the week. We mentioned yesterday on the programme, we had the people behind Your Place, which is taking place in Hangleton this weekend, a whole bunch of community events inspired by Kate Tempest. She's really left her mark on Brighton, hasn't she?
Absolutely, and I think with all the details of Your Place, you can go onto the Brighton Festival website and you can find the sort of schedule of what's happening at Hangleton over the weekend.
So music, arts, dance, washing up. I'm very intrigued by this performance that's based around washing up.
The performance around washing up, there's the bandstand, I think, as well there, isn't there, outside.
Yep.
So they're outside, they're not just in the leisure centre there this year.
And the weather's going to be good.
Yes, yeah. So take a look at what's happening up in Hangleton. And if you're down on the seafront on Saturday evening, isn't it? I think about 5:30 rehearsal.
6:30 performance, yeah. And by the I-360.
That is Three Score Dance Company doing the Nelken.
Dancing the Nelken line.
Yeah, which, if I remember rightly, is going to see around 200 performers, some of whom members of the community who've sort of been rehearsing via videos and to get themselves ready for the show. And you go down there and you basically, they're trying to break a record for the amount of people who do this. Sort of, this is a set dance routine. There's particular movements that represent the seasons, and they will be promenading for around 15 minutes in an attempt to break the world record for people doing this particular dance to Louis Armstrong track. What was the Louis Armstrong track?
I can't remember.
It's a Louis Armstrong
piece. I'll have to listen to yesterday's programme to tell you that one. It sounds like a very kind of a nuanced hand, like a hand dance, a promenading hand dance with representations of trees and leaves falling and grass representing the four seasons. I think it's going to be amazing to watch. And the thing about Three Score Dance as well is that they're all over 60, aren't they?
They are, but I have no idea how old all the other people taking part in, so I think it's open to anyone and everyone of any age and ability.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. There you go.
But with obviously the dancers of Three Score forming part and helping along everyone else with that. So if you've already signed up, they've got all the dancers they need. This is to go and see what's happening down there. So the actual performance 6:30, but they'll be down there rehearsing from around 5:30 near the I-360.
And it heads on to the Peace Statue.
That's Saturday.
Saturday night, yeah. So we've got time to have a chat with our reviewer Jack Claremont. Jack has been to see Zelorys White last night at St George's Church, and he had a chat with the audience as they were leaving. Here is what went down.
I'm outside St George's Church in Kemp Town, where I've just been to see Zelorys White as part of the Brighton Festival. An intoxicating blend of traditional Greek music with bombastic, noisy drumming. I thought it was amazing, but let's see what everyone else thought.
I thought it was great. Yes. We are from Greece as well.
Oh yeah.
We came to his gig last year as well, but this was different. I think the new album was awesome.
I thought it was amazing, particularly, they seem to become more and more intense. Just when you thought they were at their optimum level, they managed to, look at each other and then basically take it to, the next level. And so, especially on that last song, it was incredible. They did some sort of, he did a lullaby, and there were, some barnstormers that you could sort of almost equivalate to, rock and roll music. But then, I don't know, it's all over the place. Yeah, it's great.
It was stunning. I'm glad I came.
Amazing.
It was a really typical Brighton experience. Absolutely superb. The support act, I was wowed by the strength that came off that guy. What a talent. I'm so glad I spoke to him afterwards. And of course, Zelorys White. What can you say?
For me, it was an astonishing performance. It was very, very powerful. I didn't expect that because it was too experimental, because the base of the songs, the traditional Cretan songs, are entirely different of what we heard today. So probably people, they are a little bit misled about the traditional Cretan music. But for people that we know the music from the traditional songs, this was something superb.
So, Cretan music of original and traditional composition. Georgios Zelorys on a kind of Cretan lute and vocals, and Jim White on the drums. Collectively, Zelorys White and Jack Claremont was there. Jack, it sounded like a goodie.
Oh my goodness, it really was. It was quite spectacular. The Cretan lute is not an instrument that I've had much experience with in a live setting or on record, really. It just totally blew my mind. I got there yesterday. It was at the St. George's Church, which is a stunning, stunning space. And first of all, Daniel Bloomberg was supporting, who's just got an album come out. And it was, I came in and it sounded like a nightmare. Now, that's a horrible thing to say, but because you had double bass, you had violin, and you had Daniel on guitar, but this kind of weird boxy guitar that he looks homemade. And they were, as I came in, they were kind of going totally frenetic, or
purposefully plucking off strings on the violin.
Wow.
and playing with the back of the bow, and then it just somehow out of all the murk kind of came a beautiful song, and it kind of did that for a bit, then went back into. So you were already kind of set up for a weird night of music, and then Zaloris White came on, and they are. I mean, truly, truly spectacular. The drummer, Jim White, Australian from the Dirty Three. So a lot of people kind of know just how good he is. He's like a Cafe Oto regular in London, you know, that a real kind of ambient sound. And it was. I found this album was produced by Guy Pochettino from Fugazi. So it has that, right? It has that kind of weird, big noise, fuzz noise.
There's so much energy to them as well, because I've seen them a couple of times. First time was at the Hope and Ruin to, like, you know, 80 people. And, you know, the walls were dripping. I think last year at Liverpool Psych Festival, I think I saw them again.
Very cool.
Obviously in a much bigger environment. It must have been amazing in St. George's Church. It must have filled that church with just chaotic noise.
Exactly. And each of them kind of bring it when they need to. You know, there's certain tracks where the lute is kind of more subdued, and you've got Jim just going hell for leather on the drum kit. And then you've got bits where Jim is kind of doing a pretty proggy beat, and then Georgios Zaloris is just like, I mean, the speed of that man's hands is just incredible. The sounds that he can produce out of this kind of very traditional instrument was so interesting. It was really cool when I spoke to some of the audience afterwards. There was a lot of Greek people were there last night, and they were telling me how it was really interesting because you could hear the bass of a lot of Cretan songs there, and yet they were taking it to a new level and heightening. So just fantastic. Anyone who gets the chance to see them, go.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for that, Jack. I'm glad you had a good time.
I think that's it for today, isn't it?
I think it is. Time is against us.
Another week. So a weekend to come. Enjoy your weekend of festivaling, whatever you're up to. You've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, DAB and online. Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. during the festival. One more week to go. Repeated 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. the next day.
Thank you to today's guests, David Harrington, Tariq El-Mutawakil, Rob Jones, Marina Burton, Ibelis Guardia Ferraguti, and reporters Jack Clarimont and Mark Johnson. I am back on Monday, and from both of us, have a great weekend, whatever you're up to this weekend. Going to play you out with Trio Da Carli and Kronos Quartet. From me, Melita and Rebecca, bye.